Isaiah 37, starting at verse 14. And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubims, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the king of Assyria has laid waste all the nations of their lands. And I'm sorry, I have to pause for a minute. I got confused. We'll start verse 17 again. Incline your ears, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to the reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the king of Syria has laid waste all the nations in their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For there were not gods, but the works of man's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from the hands of all the kingdoms of the earth, may know that you are the Lord, you alone. Verse 21. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus said the Lord, God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughters of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your neck, or behind your back, rather. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Lord, please add a blessing to the reading of your holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God this morning. And we just are glad that you're here this morning. Our focus, of course, is our day of prayer. And we are turning our thoughts toward this great privilege of prayer in all of our services. But let's remember this, that prayer has no benefit in itself. Prayer has no glory in itself. You can be a person of prayer, but it's who we pray to. It's who we speak to. It's who our focus is on when we pray. There are many people on this planet who pray, but we're talking about prayer to the true and living God. Let's bow our heads right now and let's join together in this great privilege of praying together. Join me. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. Thank you, Father, that we can set aside a day that we corporately, as a church, as a body of believers, would focus on prayer. Father, we understand that this should be our focus all the time, speaking to you, coming to you, trusting in you. And yet, Father, what an opportunity you give us to just come together to turn our thoughts toward you and the great privilege of prayer through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God, we ask humbly for your help as we look at this passage this morning. This is your word. You reveal yourself through your word. Help us now to listen. Let our ears be open to you as you speak to us from this passage today. And God, as we pray, always change us. God, we are needy people, and we struggle with sin. We struggle with this world. We struggle with the situations and circumstances of life. God, lift our eyes to you this day and change us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 My aim this morning, give you the strong conviction that your prayers are God's way of accomplishing victory in many spiritual battles. Let me say it another way. God has ordained in His all-encompassing knowledge and wisdom to respond to the pleading of His people and win great battles through prayer. For example, in the 14th year of Hezekiah, king of Judah, Sennacherib, the great and terrible king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah, and he took them. Jerusalem was left isolated and alone against hundreds of thousands of Assyrian soldiers. All there was in Jerusalem was a frightened people, a prophet named Isaiah, and a king who would pray. Now, King Hezekiah had done his best to prepare his people for the onslaught of the Assyrians. His armies were prepared. His generals were ready. His city was fortified and protected as well as could be. He had even made arrangements for a water supply to be diverted into the city through a tunnel under the city walls in case there was a long siege. Hezekiah did what a good king would do. He loved his people. He desired to protect his people and defend his people. But it was not enough. It was not near enough against the Assyrians. And now the armies of Sennacherib had come against them. The Assyrian emissary, the Rabshakeh, stood by the conduit outside the city on the highway that leads to the fuller's field, and he mocked the people of Jerusalem. And the men who represented Hezekiah met him and listened to his scornful words. And the Rabshakeh spoke loudly so that even the people on the wall of Jerusalem could hear, and they had gathered on the wall because they knew what they faced and they knew the dangers that were before them, and they wanted to hear, they wanted to see what was taking place. And the Rabshakeh said to them that Egypt would be no more help to them than a reed to lean on. And he said that if you would lean on that reed, if you would trust in Egypt, then that reed would pierce your hand. And so he made fun of them, and he taunted them, and he said that he would even give them 2,000 horses if they could put men on those horses. And the Rabshakeh cried loudly so that all the people on the walls could hear. And he said, "The king of Assyria will lay siege to this city. And you who stand before me and those who hear my words today will eat and drink your own waste. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. And do not let Hezekiah claim that the Lord will deliver you. Do not listen to Hezekiah, but make peace with the king of Assyria, and he will come and he will take you to a new land, a land of grain and wine and bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you that the Lord will deliver you." And folks, that's exactly what the Assyrians had done. That's exactly what they had done with the nations before them. They had defeated their armies. They had destroyed their cities. They had put rings in the nose of their kings and their people, and they drug them to captivity. That was the Assyrians. And then the Rabshakeh mocked and he scoffed at the Lord God. And he said, "Have any of the gods of the nations delivered them from the hand of Sennacherib? Where are the gods of these nations? Who is the Lord that he would deliver Jerusalem from the king of Assyria? And so the Rabshakeh, he stood and he mocked God and he scorned God's king and he threatened God's people. And Eliakim, the king's steward, listened to all this, and then he brought the words of the Rabshakeh to King Hezekiah. Look at chapter 37, verse 1. Chapter 37, verse 1. And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And then we see that he sent word to Isaiah the prophet and he asked that Isaiah pray for the city. And Hezekiah proclaimed the weakness of the city and the helplessness of the situation. Look at verse 4. He said to the prophet Isaiah, "This day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master the king of Assyria has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left." Hezekiah asked that the prophet pray for the city and pray for the people of God. And Isaiah responded with a promise of deliverance. He told Hezekiah not to fear, that God would respond. The king of Assyria will hear a rumor and he will pull back from the city of Lachish to fight on another front. And folks, it happened. Word came that the Ethiopians were coming to deliver Jerusalem, but it was only a rumor. The king of the Ethiopians had come, but he did not make it to Jerusalem. Help did not come. And so the threat was renewed, and the emissary of the king of Assyria sent a letter to Hezekiah saying that they were coming back and they would destroy the city and they would destroy Jerusalem and everything and everyone in the city. And the letter emphasized to King Hezekiah, "Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? No gods of any of the nations have delivered them from the Assyrians." And this time, Hezekiah goes straight to God himself. Look at verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and he spread it before the Lord. Can't you just picture that in your hands? This king who is in trouble, this city who is in trouble, and there is no greater danger in all of the ancient world than what they faced. And he goes into the house of the Lord and he spreads this letter before the Lord. And then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. And listen to his prayer. Folks, this is the kind of prayer that brings victory over the enemies of God and expands the kingdom of God in this world. This is the kind of prayer that saves cities and saves nations and saves people. He begins in verse 16. "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods,
but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, and therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone." And when Hezekiah had prayed that prayer, Isaiah the prophet, without even being told about it, received a word from the Lord and sent this word to Hezekiah. And here's what God said through Isaiah. Look at verse 21. "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria." Do you see it? "Because you have prayed." "Because you have prayed," God said. "This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel." And then God says in verse 29, "Because your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came." Verse 32, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And then look at verse 33, "For God says, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come into this city, says the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." The prophet Isaiah records what follows in verses 36 to 38. Look at it with me. Because, folks, the ruler of the universe, the God of all creation, the Lord who reigns above the cherubim, the one and only God, answered the prayer of Hezekiah. Verse 36. "And then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. And now it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat, and then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place." We step back as we think about these words from the prophet Isaiah. And folks, there are many truths to be learned from this passage. And frankly, it's one of those passages, you can read this passage and you can close the book and you can go away in wonder and amazement and awe at this great God. And yet our thoughts turn to these truths, many truths to be learned from the passage, but a tremendously important truth is seen in the words of God to Hezekiah in verses 21 and 22. And this is how God answered through Isaiah to the king, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. Because you have prayed. Folks, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be edified this morning in those simple words that God answered Hezekiah, and he said, because you have prayed. Hezekiah, because you have prayed, 185,000 soldiers lie dead on the plains of Judah. And Hezekiah, because you have prayed, the most powerful king in all of the world is returning to Assyria the same way that he came. And Hezekiah, because you have prayed, the city of Jerusalem is saved, and not one arrow of the Assyrians has fallen into the city. And Hezekiah, because you have prayed, the strongest king in the known world is gone, vanished from the scene of history and is no more. And Hezekiah, because you have prayed, the witness of my covenant love for David and my zeal for my name is spread throughout all the nations. Because you have prayed. If this were the only record in the Bible like this, and it's not, if this were the only record in the Bible like this, the point would be clear. That God, with infinite power and knowledge and wisdom, has ordained to respond to the pleading of His people and win great battles through prayer. Through prayer. He has decreed to make the prayers of His people the cause of great victory in battle. And folks, when we run that through our thoughts and through our thinking, it is a staggering truth. And whether the battles involve the pleas of a little 10-year-old boy for his daddy to be saved by Jesus, or whether it's the pleading of parents for God's light to shine in the hearts of a son or a daughter who are in darkness, or it's the cries of a Christian people for a nation that turns further and further away from God, or the prayer of a righteous king for the destruction of an Assyrian army that surrounded his city. This truth is certain, that God has decreed to make the prayers of His people the cause of many triumphs in battle. God uses prayer to accomplish His purpose. God has ordained that prayer be the means that He uses to do His will. So consider this. Consider this about Hezekiah this morning. He was a good king. He was a righteous king. The Scripture tells us that he walked in the ways of David. He did right in the sight of the Lord. And when he and his people were threatened by Sennacherib, he prepared and he planned and he made provision for the battle that would come. His armies were ready. His city was ready. He was ready. He acted, he moved, he labored, he did what any good king would do. But folks, when it came down to it, the city of Jerusalem was saved because Hezekiah prayed. It was not his armies, and it was not his horses, or his soldiers, or his chariots, or his walls, or his spears, or his bows, and his arrows, and his skill, and his wisdom, and his strategy, and his bravery that won the battle. God did it through prayer. Prayer. And what a prayer it was. It was simple. It was direct. It was reverent. It moved the heart of God. Look again at this prayer, verses 16 to 20. Notice that Hezekiah acknowledged the majesty and the sovereignty of God. As a matter of fact, when you look at this prayer by Hezekiah, most of the words of this prayer gave glory and majesty and honor to God. What a difference that is than when we pray oftentimes. He calls God the Lord of hosts. In other words, He is the God of armies in heaven and earth. That's appropriate considering what Hezekiah and the city of Jerusalem faced. He calls God the God of Israel. He is the covenant God of the people of Israel. He loved them with a special love. He promised to protect them and to take care of them. He says that God dwells between the cherubim. He is higher than the highest angels. He says that God is God alone of the kingdoms of this earth. He is the one true living God who is over all the kingdoms. And He says that God made heaven and earth. He created all things. And folks, when you come to God with this perspective, when you come to God in the reality of His person, you come to the only true God and the only true power and the God who can do whatever He wants to do. And He is ordained that your prayers are important, and He makes your prayers the cause of victory. What does that mean for us today? It can mean a lot of things, lots of application, lots of truth here for us today. But in the very least, it means that we need to pray. In the very least, we need to pray. We need to be people of prayer. Prayer must be our first and continual weapon when we fight the battles of this life. And whether it be the battle for the salvation of a family member, or a battle against ongoing sin in our lives, a battle against bitterness or resentment in our hearts, or even the battle for the life of this nation in which we love, even during this time, this election time, our first and our continual and our greatest weapon must be prayer. The last several weeks, I have received calls and emails. I know you've received calls also. I've received calls and emails about getting out the vote. Get out the vote, Pastor. People in your church, help them to vote. Help them to get out and participate and vote. Encourage your people to caucus on Monday night. I've been asked to endorse candidates, represent candidates, put forth certain candidates in this local church. And frankly, I have respectfully declined. Now, I will participate as a citizen, and I encourage you and I implore you, as Christian citizens, participate. Participate. It's a God-given right. It's a God-given privilege that we have in this nation. And I encourage you to do that as a citizen. But my greatest, greatest, and highest responsibility is to help you on Monday night, tomorrow night, and every other night, and every other day, to fix your attention on God. That's my responsibility. Why? Because He is the Lord of hosts, and He is the Creator, and He is over all the kingdoms of this world. And He will choose, I emphasize, He will choose the next president of the United States, and He will use people to do that. But the king's heart is in His hand. And He raises them up and He brings them down. Perhaps, perhaps by His great mercy and grace, He will turn our nation to righteousness. Perhaps He will not. But whatever He does is right and good according to His eternal plan and purpose. And folks, He will give the victory. And if it's not now, it for sure will be in the future. He will give the victory. And therefore, the greatest, most powerful, most important action by the people of God at any time, in any trouble, in any situation, in any suffering, in any challenge, in any battle is this. Pray. 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 And whatever God does, and whatever God accomplishes, and whatever God brings to pass because of your prayers, may all the kingdoms and people of this earth know that He is the Lord. And there is none other. He alone rules. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just simply thank You for Your Word. We truly need Your truth. For we are so insufficient and weak in ourselves. And Father, even as we've heard earlier in our time, how easy it is for us to depend upon ourselves, to boast in ourselves. But God, I pray this morning that our boasting is only in You and only in the cross of Jesus Christ. And Father, as a people this morning, may the simple truths of the passage we've looked at move us to trust You and depend upon You through prayer. God, help us. Help us to be a praying people. And God, help us not only to be a praying people in this very important time in the life of our nation, but God, help us to be a praying people all the time. Every day, many times a day, God, may our constant attitude be one of crying out to You and seeking Your face and asking for Your help. For we truly are children, weak and helpless children. And God, our nation is the same. And we're thankful for what You've done in the past. And God, even thankful now that because of what You've allowed, that we can cry out in earnestness and cry out in humility to You to help us. So Father, my prayer this morning would be that we focus on You, and that prayer would be the natural outflow of our fellowship with You and our attention on You and our worship and praise for You. We thank You. You've allowed us to meet and gather to look at the important truth of prayer and to turn our eyes upon You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's pray.
Let's sing, Casey.